It's time for the
What in the
podcast.
I'm watching you.
Have you ever driven down a lonely road and encountered something you couldn't explain? Maybe you saw a person on the road who disappears before your very eyes. Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker who disappeared before you reached their final destination? Could a large, shadowy figure be racing down the road next to you? Tonight we'll explore a few of the most haunted roads in America and talk about their ghostly inhabitants as well as the urban legends and accounts surrounding them. Welcome to episode 15 of What in the Podcast.
Welcome to the What in the Podcast with your hosts, Kent Whittington
and Adriana Comito
and Tracy Lynn Hernandez.
Hello and welcome to the What in the Podcast. I'm your host, Kent Whittington. Along with me are my hostesses, Adriana Comito
and Tracy Lynn Hernandez.
Hello. Adri's with us. We missed her last week, but she's back. She's a little under the weather still, but able to hang out with us and talk tonight. Say hi, dear.
Hello.
Yes, migraines do suck. And we're glad that you don't have them anymore. At least not right now.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't wish a migraine on somebody I hated.
No.
I wouldn't wish it on my stepmother. And I don't like that woman. But anyway, that's beside the point.
I'm glad you didn't say mother-in-law, because that's what popped in my head when you said stepmother for some reason.
I love my mother-in-law.
No. That's okay. I love my mommy, too.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, other mother.
Just in case, yeah. Got to get all the bases covered. So we were going to talk about Dyer Lane tonight. However, through our research, though, we did find quite a bit, actually. It just wasn't enough to fill a whole episode. So we're going to branch out a little bit and do some other roadways as well throughout the U.S.
And there's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, yes. Before we begin, though, let's start with the usual housekeeping. First of all, hi, Jerry. Hi, Tracy at Hillbilly Horror Stories. We hope you listen, and we love listening to you guys. You guys are a hoot.
Tracy, we hope you're feeling better. I haven't seen any updates.
She is feeling better.
Oh, she is good.
Yep. She's out of the hospital now.
I'm horribly bad. I haven't been getting on Facebook. I've actually really have been under the weather myself. So.
She's still recovering, but she's able to get out and about. So
oh, good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Very, very happy from the bottom of my heart that you're feeling better. I was horrified when I found out you were sick and in the hospital, so.
Well, all better now.
Yay.
Anyway.
That sounded very sarcastic. Sorry, it wasn't meant that way.
So if you haven't noticed already, sometimes we struggle to find content for the show. This is where you guys are going to help us out. If you are listening to the show and you've got a story to tell or something you want us to cover, let us know. There's three ways you can do it. You can do it through the email of whatinthepodcast@gmail.com. You need a light fly, dear? No? Okay. Sorry, she looked like she was about to sneeze. So anyway, you can do it through the Gmail account. You can also do it through our Facebook group at the What in the Podcast Facebook group. Or you can click the link at the bottom of the episode description on this episode or any of the other ones that you might be listening to. And when you tap that link, it's going to tell you to record a message. You tap that button there, leave a message. Don't like it? Start over again. You can do as many times as you like till you get the way you want it. And just send us a message. We want to hear from you guys. No one is sending messages. No one's doing content on Facebook, really. I put out a feeler on the group about your favorite episodes, for the people who do listen. I got two responses.
And I know there's more than two people listening.
I get a lot of respond which ones are my favorite because they're all my favorites. So I figure I just put a heart.
Well, you're biased.
Yes, I am.
She is biased. So are we.
But seriously, we did get a couple responses, and overwhelmingly, the best, the most liked episode turned out. I thought it was going to be episode 6 because we got a lot of listens to that one, but it turned out that the ones that people talked about the most was episode 8, our ghost stories episode. So I'm thinking maybe we should do another one down the road here in the near future.
That works for me.
Maybe Halloween or something
that
like
that.
That
could be our Halloween episode.
It could be, yeah.
We'll do it early. And that way it's posted for the weekend and people can listen to it at their leisure.
Yep. And we will be doing a Halloween episode for sure. I've already got it in the books.
Yay!
Yay.
Might be an eclectic thing. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Who knows?
Well, I kind of hope it is. Maybe we can do a roundtable or something.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Come join us for the roundtable.
Let us know. Send a message.
Come on, people. Participate.
I have an idea for a future one, but I need people's input with it too.
What is it?
It's my idea of a fractured reality.
Like the Mandela effect,
like the Mandela effect.
Okay.
You know, like the hydrant collider type thing.
The whole Matrix issue.
So if you have your own personal glitch in the Matrix, you remember something point A, point B, point C, but the person next to you goes, no, it's point A, point D, point C.
Point C, point O.
Give us input. I'm looking for it. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me anywhere. It's Tracy Lynn Hernandez. If you go to our What in the Podcast page, you can find me there.
Yes, you can. She's there quite often, actually.
Everybody's there more than me. I am so bad.
You're never there.
I don't even get on Facebook anymore. I really don't. Everybody's all mad at me and stuff.
Not mad, just perturbed.
Grumble.
I don't feel good. I don't even want to play my games. I don't read. I want to crochet. I can't even do that anymore.
Grumble.
Well, you injured yourself.
Yes, yep. I know.
Enough of that. Anyway, how about we get on to our show? Like I said, we were going to do Dire Lane, just Dire Lane, but that didn't work out because we couldn't find enough content. It's a great story, though.
And actually make it there.
Yeah, it's close. It's funny. It's close to us,
really,
but
close.
None of us have ever been there.
Life happens. As long as life happens, we know we're alive, but don't let life give me a break from time to time.
Yeah, but on that note, I found a few others, so we're going to have plenty to talk about tonight.
Yay.
But let's go ahead and start with Dire Lane. Dire Lane is technically it's listed as Alberta, California, but it's a Roseville location. It's got a history of deadly accidents, suicides, and murder. It's a pretty treacherous road from the understanding. Stories of things like a high school student killed on the desolate street. The Ku Klux Klan is believed to have met there during the 30s. Recently, two kittens were hanged from a noose strung from a tree. And to this day, people swear that ghostly figures appear and disappear before their eyes. There's even a story about a gaunt, disheveled man in fatigues that's been seen, as well as the tortured figure of a police officer who died there under mysterious circumstances. So we're going to go through these stories one at a time here, let you hear about them.
I've been there.
Oh, you have been there.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I have been in that area. I'm looking at the map going, wait a minute, that looks very familiar. When you say Alberta, but it's Roseville, I'm like, I know that area. I've
been by there, but I haven't actually gone down the road.
The reason I know is because it's not far from Gibson Ranch Park and stuff.
Okay.
And I think when I was doing DoorDash out in that area, I was going out to the boonies. There's like, yeah. I was going in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, is this a house? Am I on the right road? So yeah, I've been out there, just not at night.
Sure wasn't somebody who was...
No, people got their food.
Okay.
I don't...
Not some guy saying, oh, you got to find the spot on the map?
Oh yeah, that was fun. That was a very interesting challenge.
Yeah, he asked the guy for the address. He says, it's the red dot on the map.
Yeah, okay, that's helpful.
Stoners are your best customers.
Yeah, but they actually pay for the order when they get it, though. So if they don't tell you where they're at, you don't get paid.
That's true. It kind of goes without saying. So anyway, let's start off with the Cursed Witches of Dire Lane. I think that's one of the older stories. Legend has it that a cult of witches would gather in the area of Dire Lane from 1932 to 1934. The witches, about six of them, would practice their Wiccan skills in a secluded field in and around the Dire Lane area. Little did the witches know that a group of boys had been following them and secretly spying on them. On one particular night, the group of boys snatched two of the witches and held them down and raped them. The other two girls ran off in the woods screaming. After the boys raped the two witches, both witches were crying and yelled a curse at the boys and said they would also tell the police. One of the boys strangled one witch as the other witch ran away. One of the boys grabbed a large rock and threw it at the girl, hitting her on the head and killing her instantly. Both girls that were raped were now dead. The cursed boys that committed these crimes died of unnatural causes. One boy was hit by a truck and died 3 weeks later. Another boy was mugged on the street in Los Angeles and stabbed in his stomach. He bled to death. This happened 4 months after he encountered the witches. Another boy, while swimming in the Sacramento River, was taken under by an undercurrent and drowned, which happens pretty commonly anyway, if anybody knows anything about the river.
It doesn't happen all that often with adults as it does with children. Sure. It does happen with adults once in a while, but for the most part, it's really small children. We're not talking teenagers. We're talking, even these days, it was that little boy, I think, recently.
It does happen, so, though.
It does, but it's rarer, mm-hmm. I can't talk. It's rarer with older children and adults.
Yeah, you got to have the strength to swim. That's what the problem is there.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to sound very random.
Okay.
But there were six girls, and the story talks about two of them getting grabbed, held down, and raped. Two of them ran away. What happened to the other two? Did they run away with the other two and just nobody mentioned it?
Well, let's see. There were six of them. Two were raped. Two ran off.
Two were raped and killed.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the other two?
That's a very good question.
Sorry. I'm not trying to be a
good catch. I think I might be a misprint. Maybe it was just four witches.
Maybe. I'm sorry. It was just a curiosity mm-hmm. thing. And I know I'm not trying to poo-poo everything.
No, that's a good catch. Thank you, dear.
And I keep rereading. I'm like, what happened to them? Like, reread.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, to finish the story, though, there was one more boy left. Get her off my arm before she claws me, please. Kitten attack. Sorry about that. So we had one boy who was he was hit by a vehicle. Another one was
he died three weeks later.
Right. Another one who was mugged on the street of Los Angeles. 4 months after.
Stabbed to death and bled.
Yep. Another boy swimming the river, which we already talked about.
The
last boy was involved in a skiing accident and hit a tree head on and died quickly. It is said if you encounter the cursed witches of Dire Lane, you will automatically have a curse placed upon you. That curse will lead to your ultimate
boy.
Thank you. Can't speak. Let me fix my teeth here. There we go.
That ain't your teeth.
So have you got anything on the encounters? Any recent encounters with the witches?
Well, with the witches, I don't believe so. I've got people's accounts of experiences they've had. None of these have to do with the witches. So
Kitty wants to be a podcaster.
I don't know if you want me to tell these stories first or what, but you know, there's one that these are all grabbed from Reddit that I grabbed.
Okay.
So I want to give people at least.
That's fine. I don't use Reddit, so I don't have that access you do.
Hi, my name's Tracy, and I find holes. That sounds bad.
Oh, I found some holes today, too. I just didn't find them on Reddit.
So this one's from about 2 years ago. The Reddit user, my computer just looked it up, is Death in the Sink. And it's, I figure, start out by saying I do plan on updating this as soon as possible. And they did not update it, just so you know. And the else they posted was other stories, but not having to do with Dire Lane.
Get on it, Death in the Sink.
As well as give background information on what Dire Lane is and its history. Quote also, in parentheses, I apologize in advance for any grammar or spelling errors. Well, this person already spells better than I do. Hi, I'm also dyslexic. So, Dire Lane is a stretch of road located in Roseville, California. It's a small patch of rural land that sits just after an urban town. About 20 minutes from the said lane, and this is all of its history that I know. With a quick Google search, you'll find almost all the information you need, but I'll give you the main ideas here. We have touched on some of this already, though. Dire Lane is claimed to be one of the most haunted locations in California, claiming to be a resting ground for multiple KKK hangings and burnings, murder victims, and other general paranormal happenings. The most recent murder I can find an account for at the moment was a body dumping woman in her 20s, which the police have corroborated this, yes.
I think I heard something about that.
How long ago was that?
At least 2 years ago. It doesn't say it. You didn't put dates in here. Hmm. Or they didn't put dates in here. You'll find a small string of candles and a cross from where she was found on the road, as well as other multiple other offerings left behind for victims of different happenings. To expand on the paranormal aspect of this post, I was told by a close friend of mine, we'll call him Blake, on my first visit to Lane about many folks' tales, one of which being a small staircase that leads nowhere and sits in a field and moves from place to place. I personally believe it's just the hicks that move this to scare locals. Seriously, the rednecks live out there are creepy enough. It wouldn't surprise me. The second being the ghostly figure of a ratted out old man in farmer's clothing, tarnished and sunken. Again, although I'm a strong believer in the paranormal, I personally debunk this as many homeless folks take shelter down the road. There is garbage and random stuff littered across the entire lane.
Wow, this makes us sound like backwoods hicks, don't it?
Well, it's near Watt, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
The rural area of Watt, mm-hmm. That's where a lot of the encampments are.
Yep.
It's, quote, it is not just a dumping ground for bodies, but everyone's broken junk. Not just a dumping ground for bodies, but everyone's broken junk.
Well, everybody's got to have a hobby, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, let me go on to another story before you get too deep into that.
Okay.
We have the ghostly police car. Legend has it that late at night, you might encounter a police cruiser on your back bumper. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Jer?
Yep.
Ghost cop. You look back and see the headlights. You see the red lights and the policeman driving look shadowy. You stop your vehicle and the police car simply vanishes. Story goes back to 1954. A policeman was involved in a high-speed chase on Dyer Lane when the suspect vehicle stopped. The passenger of the vehicle stepped out and shot the police officer. The suspect vehicle sped off and the fugitives were caught. They were never caught. The sudden demise of the police officer created a restless soul, and to this day, the incident of the high-speed chase is recreated over and over again. At times, the ghostly police car may be behind your car, thinking you are the suspect vehicle from 1954. It is rumored that the suspect he was chasing were members of the KKK. Which leads to the next story.
Here we go.
KKK and the lynching of Tyrone. Around 1954, members of the KKK are said to have gathered in the fields of Dyer Lane and would perform their cross-burning rituals. On one summer night in 1954, they brought an African-American man named Tyrone into the fields, a man that they kidnapped off the streets of Sacramento. Tyrone went through a gauntlet of white-hooded KKK men and received a severe beating. Afterwards, the KKK lynched Tyrone and hung him from one of the oak trees. People who visit Dyer Lane late at night say that at times they see white hooded men standing in a circle in the field. They will also see Tyrone hanging from the tree. Mm-hmm. Funny thing about that story is they never give Tyrone a last name.
Yes.
So, you know.
Could have been lost.
Could just be an urban legend.
Yep.
Who knows? There's a lot of them.
Did you find anything out regarding
Tyrone,
them?
No, unfortunately.
How about the KKK or the policeman?
I like this book here.
Highlight you too.
Highlight you too. Are we having fun yet?
No, this is all just the stories of people that dealing with stuff not.
Okay, well, let's get into the rest of the legends then. Okay. And then we can jump into the stories after that.
Okay.
Okay. Next one is a ghostly farmer on his tractor. This farmer has a name. His name is John Wilkins. Ghost hunters may claim that at times they see a ghostly farmer out in the field in his tractor. When they watch the farmer for a while, he just fades away into nothingness. The story goes that in 1946, a farmer named John Wilkins was farming his land. Wilkins came across the ghostly apparition of the Cursed Witches of Dyer Lane. Dun, dun, dun. Thank you, Belt. Or Sash. I've seen the previews. John saw the woman, and they appeared to be seductive and flirtatious with John. As John gazed upon the woman, his tractor started moving and ran John over. John was crushed by the weight of the tractor. Legend says that to this day, John Wilkins still haunts the fields of Dyer Lane. Guess he'll never get those fields done, huh? Then we have the Dyer Lane Satanic Cult. This is going into 1967 now. The Satanic Cult, called the Satanic Order of Amducius, never heard of that one, would frequent the field of what is Dyer Lane. It is said that this order worshipped the demon Amduseus. This satanic cult would try to summon the great demon Amduseus without any luck. During a dark, cloudy, brisk night, the cult was ready to take things to the next level. They were ready to commit a human sacrifice. The cult kidnapped one of their members' sisters named Lynn. They took Lynn out to the field and said their chants to Amduseus. The cult members wore red hooded outfits. On the back of their outfit was a large A in yellow. The A represented Amduseus. After the chanting, the leader of the cult plunged a large knife into the chest of Lynn. When this occurred, the sounds of thunder was heard, along with the sounds of trumpets. The trees appeared to bend towards the circle where the cult was standing. Cacophonous music resonated through the field. The cult finally managed to summon the demon Amduseus. After the summoning, there were mysterious deaths of some of the cult members. One cult member was found on a park bench with his throat cut. Some ghost hunters, or just some curious people, have claimed that they can hear chanting in the fields. Some people say that if you get too close to the chanting, you'll be severely scratched. The scratches are usually deep, and the scratches appear to be done with three claws. Then we have the Dire Lane Hitchhiker. The last story of... Sorry, this last story here is of Ed Beacon, a hippie hitchhiker in 1969. While hitchhiking, Ed Beacon of Oregon felt that a safe place to camp out was near and around Dire Lane. Some people near Dire Lane heard a man screaming. When they approached Ed, he was going into convulsions. People asked Ed what was wrong, and he kept yelling, "The chanting! The chanting!" The people near Ed heard nothing, no chanting. After Ed's convulsions episode, he simply died on the streets of Dire Lane. Locals wonder if Ed could have encountered the Satanic Order of Amduseus. People who visit Dire Lane will sometimes see a man walking with a sack thrown over his shoulder, with his thumb sticking out looking for a ride. A resident of Sacramento named Michael Sorey says that he actually gave the Dire Lane hitchhiker a ride, and he asked to be driven towards Redding because he was headed for Eureka. Michael says he drove him about 15 miles north and was looking for a place to pull over when the hitchhiker just mysteriously vanished from the passenger side of his vehicle. Michael says that this hitchhiker was a ghost. Well, of course it was, man.
What year was that he picked him up?
This was 69. Ed Beacon was the 69 thing. Doesn't say when he picked him up.
I thought maybe I missed it or something.
But I'm sure he was like, "Thanks for the ride, man." Yep. So, anything to add?
So, strange stories that go on. 7-minute drive around 2 a.m. without any exciting discovery of anything from particularly strange because the cold, damp weather being surrounded by marshy fields. The fog was silent and thick. And if something walked out in front of the car, we'd hit it before we saw it during this drive. I was being told, being explained the different stories and different history and the rumors. Our friend, we'll call him Chris, according to this, was the one driving. The only thing we noticed the first time was there looked like someone coming out to check their mail in one of the farmhouses, as if they were holding a lighter. It's hard to see anything, but a figure with a small light, and thought it would be nothing more than a creepy atmosphere. The landscape of Dire Lane is a lot of closed fences, driveways to nowhere, or abandoned houses.
There's not a whole lot out there, residentially speaking.
See, on their second drive that day around 2 p.m., the drive was much nicer. I actually enjoyed the scenery. There were many cows in the fields. On one side of the lane, the overhanging trees were less creepy. The farm feeling ended quickly when we approached the second turn where the farmhouse began. We passed three large blue tarps where we saw a figure with a lighter again in the gutter. Now, I'm not usually one to go peeking in the trash, but it wasn't trash. We pulled over, and as we got eagerly out of the car to take a look, to keep it short, there were dead dogs under the tarps. Didn't take pictures and keep it even shorter. We left pretty quick. Don't know much more about how they died. We'll just leave it at that. But the figure with the gliders was dogs under a tarp.
Dog fighting rings.
Could very well be.
Probably. That's my, out in the country, you'd find, I've heard of them even in Sacramento. They're very hush-hush.
Yep.
But that would be my guess. There's some of those driveways that lead to nowhere may lead to somewhere.
Yeah. The third part of this one was November 2nd,
sadly,
2018. So almost 2 years ago. It's the last one for now that they've shared on this one. We decided for a fun idea to go down the road, definitely at 3 a.m. Because why not go at the witching hour? Explain the origins of why the hours are sort of bad spirits, aura, and feeling. Personally, I do not believe in that. Sorry, that 3 a.m. is witching hour entirely. At first, there was nothing. Driver's on his phone. Oh, sorry, driver last time was now on his phone in the back seat while I was in the front seat. It'll kitty cat, scratch your jingle
no,
bells.
No, that's not why I'm laughing.
Back seat.
She's a ham.
You're a ham.
There were no cars driving behind us this entire time, but at some point during just before the first turn, a flash happened behind the car, just outside the window, two times. We figured it was the car behind us, and the lights were passing over small bumps in the road. After the first turn, however, we noticed there were no vehicles behind us. The guy in the back side turned off his phone completely and set it into the cup holder, making sure it wasn't him. Another flash happened after that, behind the car. Then a third turn, directly outside of my window, as we approached the last turn, the passenger in the back made a loud screaming sound, causing my partner to panic and honk his horn accidentally as he's driving. I started to yell, obviously, because that was way uncalled for, especially when it's so dangerous to call out in a road like this, and I'm not sure what he was yelling about or just screwing around. He said, I saw something next to the car. Look, because obviously there's nothing. I wasn't looking to see. To this day, though, what it could have been. I want to know if anyone had a similar experience, if they can tell me anything about Dyer Lane. If I should go back, if it's a hoax. It's not even interesting. This isn't some ridiculous demon story. I know that. It's not particularly scary. Just want to share with them what I saw.
Unless that demon is Zamdusius.
Yep.
Well, before we get into the next stuff that's not Dyer Lane.
Mm-hmm. I have one more story.
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
I have one more here. This is...
You go, girl.
Nope. I'm going to stop, right?
No, let her finish.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're ticky. Okay.
No, he didn't.
Go ahead.
Okay.
He missed it.
Okay.
I missed it. Click. Go ahead.
You're on.
So this is Lolly Doll 113. This is also 2 years ago. This one actually gives us dates.
Good. Finally, dates.
So I literally live 5 minutes from Dyer Lane. I've lived in this house here for 17 years now, and I've been up and down the road all times of the day and night, walking, biking, or car. One of my friends actually used to live on Castor Road and the road up with the farms. In the entire 17 years I have lived here, I have heard rumors of paranormal experiences in my own infamous town for being haunted by lots of people who have been to my house. But that being said, I've never experienced anything before Dyer Lane until April 20th, 2018. Yes, I was one of those people who could get the spooky stories of Dyer Lane out to anyone who had ever heard of it, just to get a kick out of the people being scared. To be fair, my older brother did it to me, so I passed on the tradition down of the Dyer Lane hauntings. So here are my findings. Back in the 1930s and 40s, KKK members used to have their meetings out here in one of the farms, mm-hmm. and may have no actual recorded proof, hung people out there at various ages. Two, 1960s, a group of high school girls formed an occult group. There we go.
That'd be the witches, I'm assuming?
Yep. In the 30s. In the cow fields, 30s and 40s. One source claims that one of the cult members was lured her sister in the field and used her as a human sacrifice to summon a demon.
Oh, that'd be the cult. Okay.
That's the cult. Okay, that's not the witches.
It kind of mixes back and forth. Yeah. So this is
all urban legend stuff.
The stories that this person's gotten. Numerous sites have actually reported UFO activity in the fields.
I've heard about it, but I couldn't find any reports on UFO activity.
According to this person, there are dozens of reports of football-shaped objects appearing in the sky and disappearing as well. It's actually been reported as recently as 6 months ago. So this is a two-year-old thing. So
2.5 years ago.
Yeah, 2.5 years ago.
Basically. But, it's kind of like what happened with Mount Shasta. You know about UFO activity on Mount Shasta, but you can't find anything about it.
Fourth one is this son has ties to the occult thing. Sorry, to the cult thing. The sources state that a farmer was out in his field when he heard cult-like chanting. Somehow he fell off his tractor and managed to get run over by it. ? I am not even 50% sure I believe this one. It's just what I have found.
Actually, I there are stories about people who have been run over by their tractors because the tractors have a tendency to stay in gear.
True.
Or the gears will slip.
True. Older tractors.
Older tractors, especially the gears will slip and the tractors will go into motion. The guy riding the tractor who's gotten off and has no idea what's going on behind him because all he can hear is that engine. Yep. You can't tell the distance. The next thing you know,
and they don't turn it off because it's a pain in the butt to turn back on.
Yep.
Or it used to be.
So, what she continues on here is, however, what I'm about to state is the reason I'm posting this here. I had to tell someone. My friend, we'll call her A, had never heard of stories of Dire Lane. So I figured, what the heck? I first took her down last week, 4/20/18, at around 2 p.m. It was a nice sunny day, and during the day, the road was actually a pretty sight. And I parked the car at the first bend. We got out and walked about halfway down the road and back. Nothing out of the ordinary happened then. A lot of traffic, but that's nothing out of the ordinary. Skip a few days to Friday, 4/20/18.
4/20!
She said 4/20 before. Okay, before 4/20. Okay. So I'm getting the stuff from my house to stay at A's house for the night. It was about 9 p.m. And for the giggles and grins of it, I'm like, hey, I want to drive to Dire Lane. I want to go tonight. So, you know, she was happily greeted. And me living here for so long and knowing Dire Lane was literally 5 miles out of high school's, within 5 miles of three high schools and National Stoners Holiday, you know, 4/20. Let's go figure there's going to be a ton of traffic on this night.
4/20.
Boy, anyway. Was I wrong. It was dead. So I turned down from Watt Avenue onto Dire Lane, and it was pitch black. I turned on my brights to see.
Well, there's nothing out there. Of course it was pitch black.
There's no lamps. Not really.
When we first turned down the road, there was no one else there. About a quarter of the way down the road, we saw taillights ahead of us. The closer we got, the slower the car in front of us started going. Also, the closer we got to the car, it's a green kind of old SUV. The hair on the backs of our neck started to stand up. We made it around the first bend, and the car is maybe going 5 miles an hour. You can see, in quotes here, people, end quotes, in the car, but can't make out any features at all. The car starts to pull to the side of the road to let us pass, but everything inside of us is screaming not to pass this car. Also, I forgot to mention I had my window down this whole time, and A had her window cracked, but not down. We approach the second bend, and literally everything inside me is now screaming to not follow the car anymore since Castle Road is darker than Dire Lane. So instead of following the car that had already turned, that had already turned and disappeared, into the darkness, I start to turn around the bend. Just as I finish backing up and my window's facing Castle Road, when an overwhelming feeling of someone approaching my car came over us, causing me to turn my head and look down the road at Castle Road. I saw a tall, black figure running at my car. Not humanly running, if that makes sense. It was... Oh, I hate when my computer does this. Stop it. It was... Come back.
It was Amduce, yes.
If you don't touch the computer enough, the screen darkens, and then I lose where I'm at.
Lovely.
Yeah, that part does suck.
Not running, not humanly running at my car. It was moving in a direct line. No footsteps really heard since I had the radio on, but moving inhumanly fast. I instantly floored it back down the road towards the bend. Neither A nor I said anything, any words right away. I noticed out of the corner of my eye that A hesitated in wanting to roll her window down, but rolled it back up. When I spoke up, "Did you feel that?" She looks a bit pale at me and says, "You mean the figure?" I just kept my face forward as I turned back on the Dire Lane. The entire air on the road was dark and heavy. You could now feel that something didn't want you there. I rolled my window up and before I turned back on Dire and tried to leave as fast as I could. We both felt something intensely breathing down our necks. I didn't tell A about the figure I saw. She told me about the feeling and said she had a feeling about a figure approaching the car. That's when I told her what I saw. I haven't been back to Dire Lane since. Now, mentioning that I've been living in a haunted house, I've grown a bit sensitive to paranormal things. It's not something I've asked for, but I've grown accustomed to. The older I get, the more I notice and the more I see. However, whatever I saw in Dire Lane was something that I had never felt before. Haven't been able to get out of my head. The same thing with another entity I have that felt in Citrus Heights and that had a burnt down house. I'll post about that later on. I'm actually happy that I'm not the only one who have experienced this on the road, and it had never happened to me before. And I used to go camping in the backyard of my house. My friend lived on Castor for years. That was an experience in itself. I would like some feedback on my experience. End of Lollydoll 113's story.
Well, I make light of the situation a little bit there, but There was the cult summoning the demon Amduceus, I think is what it was. I think that's what I said. So maybe that's the shadowy figure they actually saw.
Could be. Could very well be.
Because they said they summoned the demon. They didn't say anything about sending the demon away.
Yep.
So maybe it haunts Dire Lane along with the other spirits. Who's to say?
Sounds like Dire Lane's not the only haunted one, though. Here's what. Here's Dire Lane.
The crossroad and there.
The crossroad one that she was just talking about. Mm-hmm. That one's darker and spookier.
Yeah.
Well,
there's no lights out there.
Well, when you consider the stories, they're not actually on the road themselves in most cases, they're near
adjacent.
Adjacent to the roadways. So it's basically like an area, like a triangle or something like that. You know, in that case, maybe it's the Dire Lane triangle. Who knows? But you've got a situation where you have an area that's got a lot of energy.
That's
even though there's nobody out there, it's got a lot of energy to it for some reason. And these stories, they might be urban legends. We don't know. Some of them don't have enough information to give you any semblance of whether or not it's true or false, but some of them do. And, you know, the Reddit users, they've all got stories to tell, whether they're true or not, who can say, but they're fun stories and we like hearing them.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, did you want to do the next one, dear?
Sure, why not?
Okay, Adri's going to tell us about Boy Scout Lane, sorry, in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Go ahead.
There's no record of any Boy Scout deaths on Boy Scout Lane in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, but that hasn't stopped urban legends from spreading. Boy Scout Lane is in the town of Linwood, Portage County, Wisconsin. It is located west of the...
Excuse me.
Wisconsin. Can't talk.
Don't die.
I won't, I promise.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, there. Oh, no. Why does it keep doing that? My phone keeps turning. Okay.
I was just trying to give her a bigger...
He's laughing
I was just trying to give her tablet so she could read it off
I
that.
I don't need the tablet. Thank you very much. Put it away. I'm good.
You look like you're having some trouble since you're trying to read from your phone. But
my phone is fine.
I dropped my tablet. It was funny at the time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's located west of the Wisconsin River Golf Club on West River Drive and is situated between Cemetery Road and Little Chicago Road. It is it's unpaved and about 2,500 feet long. And the road was named Boy Scout Lane because the land that it is located near was once owned by the Boy Scouts of America, who planned to use the land as a camp, although it never materialized as a camp. The land remains woodland. The name was still used. Urban legends. Here we go. According to local urban legend, the road is named for a troop of Boy Scouts who were killed while on a camping trip in the 50s or 60s. In some variations, the murderer is the troop scoutmaster. In others, it is their bus driver. In yet another version, a small group of scouts leave their camp during the night and accidentally drop their lantern, resulting in a forest fire that kills the entire troop.
I think there'd be some record of that one.
Like I said, there's no record according in the beginning. This is all urban legend stuff, you know?
Seems to be.
Everybody likes to scare everybody.
Yep.
Camping, ghost stories, you know. Other variations of the story exist, including one in which the scouts are killed after their bus crashes or accidentally catches fire. Here we go, more fire. There is also a version
in which the
scouts vanish without explanation and are never found. In some versions of the legend, two Boy Scouts escape that fate of the rest of the troop and try to find help only to become lost in the woods where they died of starvation and or exposure. Dun, dun, dun!
Ooh la la.
Shouldn't laugh about it.
No, this is all urban legend. None of this stuff is real. But
when you look at the research, you go, this is cool, but yeah.
There's no proof.
How to tell a good ghost story.
That's pretty much what this is. It comes down to being a good ghost story.
For the most part, yeah. I mean,
that's what we're doing here tonight. It's not just the hauntings. It's the urban legends. It's the stories. It's what it's all about.
And
anyway, continue. Sorry.
In most of the legend, it is said that the dead scouts haunt the forest where they died and can be heard hiking through the undergrowth, or their lights can be seen at night as they seek help or their fellow scouts. Stories circulated in the haunted travels guides, including visitors reporting a strong sense of foreboding or being
Watch. The sound of footsteps or breaking branches coming from multiple directions, red or white lights, sometimes described as rumbling.
Resembling.
My eyes are.
That's okay.
Resembling swinging lanterns or flashlight beams, ghostly buses or figures and childlike handprints on cars stopped in the inner.
Driven through the area.
Area.
Sorry, like I said, she's reading from her phone. It's small print.
It is small print. And I you gotta bear with me. I am dyslexic and I read things wrong.
I did offer you the tablet.
I'm worse with numbers, especially when I transpose. I have if I'm doing anything with accounting or tabulating, I have to do it when I'm awake because the more tired I am, the worse it is.
I like number patterns, but numbers dance.
Yes.
My dyslexia is fun. Mm-hmm. I have number patterns and number dance, but anyway.
I have a thought. We should look into this. Ley lines. I wonder if, since the area is not developed, if there's, and everybody's talking about feelings of foreboding in that area and the lights and certain, not necessarily a lantern. It could be the ley lines messing with people.
Fairy lights.
You know?
I'm looking, I'm having flashbacks to too when I, now I was never a Girl Scout.
I was, sadly.
I camped.
Neither was
a lot. I camped a lot. With my parents and my Aunt Nita next door as a child. And I still camp to this day, but it's more glamping because it's SCA. I'm sorry, but if you have a flush privy nearby and not using a Biffy, then it's not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done a couple of Girl Scout things with Chris's troop, my Wifely Creatures troop, and my daughter's troop when she was acting in Girl Scouts.
Like a den mother, basically?
More like an assistant.
Okay.
Assistant troop leader type thing.
I was the certified chaperone. Yeah. We went camping at a Girl Scout camp. Oh God, where is it? Oh, well, it's somewhat near Sacramento-ish area.
Lost to history.
No, it's still there, I'm sure. But I remember growling at the girls to stop talking and go to sleep. And I hear from my daughter, "We aren't talking. That's not us." So immediately the girls start whispering about ghost stories. No, it was the deer walking by ours, followed later on by the big cat, about 2 hours later, that leaned against the actual troop mom's tent and then put its paws on the scout dad's van. Like, you could see the paw prints.
Uh-huh.
And a lick mark on the glass of the front of the van. And I'm like, "So you're going to keep the door closed next time, right?" He's all, "Yeah, I'm closing the door." I'm like, because camp dad can't camp in the tent, you know, in the group with us. They have to be separated.
I think it's funny that these animal noises were mistaken for voices.
Well, deer sound like girls whispering. Deer kind of got a meh, 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 and I'm like, "If you girls don't stop talking, we have a hike first thing in the morning." And you know, they're already having freakouts because they're seeing lights in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
We're also not the only group there.
Yeah.
But we're spaced out enough that you catch glimpses of red lights for people hiking at night. Red lights because you don't want to scare the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see the animals. White lights to make sure you're not going to kill yourself in the middle. So this could be people walking, just walking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Woods. I remember when I was in the Boy Scouts, I had a flashlight that had the red lens on it. So you could maneuver through the night without blinding anybody. Yes. Basically.
I mean, there was a camp session we did in my school. We did it together as a Montessori school. That the teacher, "I love you, Miss Ann. To this day, I love you." Had us go on a snipe hunt.
Oh.
That was only I knew. I'm like, "You want us to do what? You go out there and bang her?" I'm like, "No, I know what a snipe is. Thank you very much." And then I went over and I'm like, I sat down like, and I also know it's a bird. Thank you. And I sat down and pouted. She's like, "But I'm not going out there banging in the
And not just any bird. It's a small flightless bird."
Yes. And I'm not doing it.
And they didn't get me either.
But, you know, that's because I had an awesome Aunt Nita who, you know, had us go out to what's now KOA up near Placerville. It used to be, mm-hmm, Crazy Horse Camp Out. And she'd have us,
right,
hunt around there. And, you know, we saw toads and we saw coyotes and we got poked in the back by a snake because she put the tent over a snake hole. All the neat things you experience when you're out there in the actual camping.
And nature.
You see the ghost lights because people are out there trying to make their way to the potty,
mm-hmm,
or the biffy, and they don't know where it is. Red light is not working. White light is, "Oh, that's a scary thing." Red light is...
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
So it seems like my flashback to childhood. Sorry.
That's okay.
The processing of commercial information is complete. Back to the show.
So the next one I'm going to do is called Annie's Road. It's in Totowa, New Jersey. It's named for the ghost of a woman named Annie, who, as legend has it, was hit by a truck and killed on her prom night in the 60s. So Annie's Road is just a nickname. The street is actually called Riverview Drive. Some motorists have reported hearing screams or seeing mysterious fog and experiencing interference in their phones and cameras. Adding to the spookiness, the street borders Totowa's Laurel Grove Cemetery. Happens a lot with these haunted roads. You see cemeteries nearby, I've noticed. For more generations than anyone can seem to remember, Totowa's Riverview Drive has been more commonly known to locals as Annie's Road. And for just as long, it has played host to innumerable carloads of late-night thrill-seekers. What these adventurous night riders are looking for is the special figure of Annie herself in an otherworldly apparition that has long been associated with a snaking riverside byway. Running along the Totowa side of the Passaic River, Riverview Drive, or Reefer Road, as it's been dubbed by many partying teams, seems to be just brimming with the stuff from which local legends are made. At night, it's a dark and treacherous drive that leaves little room for error between the steep hillsides on one side and the muddy slough of the Passaic on the other. Kind of sounds like going up through the Sierras on your way to Tahoe.
River.
Oh yeah, I remember back in my youth there weren't a lot of guardrails on that road either.
There still aren't a lot of guardrails.
No, there still aren't. There's more than there used to be.
Going up to Tahoe, Reno. On the other hand, there's more guardrails.
Yeah, so basically, it's remote and wooded road, right in the heart of a densely populated area. There are mythical places to be discovered here as well, or so many have alleged. The isolated community located on Norwood Terrace and Oxbow Street. Found on one of Riverview's many curves. Sorry about that. Fix the teeth. Okay. It's long had a reputation of being New Jersey's much fabled Midgetville, rumored to be the home of a colony of little people. But what really beckons people to Annie's Road year after year, decade after decade, is the quest to see Annie herself. Boy, it's hard to talk tonight for some reason. The lure of experiencing the supernatural firsthand has been the catalyst for countless late night adventures over the generations, and several notorious misadventures as well. In most cases, these ghost hunters and seekers of Midgetville are nothing more than carloads of bored suburban youth looking for some harmless late night thrills. Annie's Road has, however, on more than one occasion, led its night riders down a pathway to danger and even death. Riverview Drive is no stranger to severe auto accidents, and Annie is not that soul who has been lost there.
Not the only one.
Yeah, it's a typo. Not the only
soul who's been lost there. Yeah.
So, yeah, and something else I discovered. I didn't write this down, but apparently there is a stretch on the road where you can still see the blood stains for where she was hit. Blood stains splattered across the roadway and apparently on one of the guardrails as well.
Sure, it's not paint.
Well, I looked at the picture and I don't know if it was just a representation, but it did kind of look like paint to me.
See, you know, some kid going, oh, this is where we're going to say she died. Yeah.
Well, that's
keep the legend fresh.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at the stain on the road, it does look more like paint than blood, because blood, when it dries, turns brown.
Dark brown. This
blood was still bright red.
Yeah.
So I think somebody just borrowed their dad's paint from the garage and decided to
splash
a little bit there for fun. So,
okay? Yeah.
Who'd like to do the next one?
Read it.
Okay, go ahead. It's a short one.
So, Route 2A in Aroostook County is inspired a song called Tombstone Every Mile by Dick Curlis.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look that up, but
maybe one that I'm going to look up later on.
Yeah.
Route 2A is known as a treacherous road for truckers, especially when sharp turns are covered in ice and snow during the winter. Drivers have reported seeing a ghost of a girl on the side of the road and a woman begging passerbys to help her husband, but she disappears when she's approached.
See,
it was a really short one.
Yes, it was.
It was very short.
How
yes.
about you do the next one?
Okay.
Might as well.
Yeah. Drivers on Route 44 in. That's why you want me to do this.
Why?
Rehoboth. Sorry, guys.
Massachusetts.
Sorry, all people in Massachusetts. I cannot pronounce your city properly.
Hoverpro sightings of a red-headed man in a flannel shirt and jeans who smiles eerily at passing cars. According to one account, the man faded out of the back seat after a driver picked him up, thinking he was a hitchhiker. The story of Route 44 ghost was popularized by the book New England Ghost Files by Charles Turek Robinson.
Cool. And going back to the first one you told about, I actually found a lyric for that song. It goes, "All you big and burly men who roll the trucks along, better listen, you'll be thankful when you hear my song. You'll have really got it made if you're hauling goods, any place on earth but those Hangsville woods."
Okay.
That's just the first part.
I have to look up that song now, maybe.
Maybe I'll put it on my playlist. Can't play it here, of course.
Obviously, but, you know, copyrights and all yep. that, but, you know.
Yep. So, it's finally time to talk about Resurrection Mary.
And there's one everywhere.
Yeah, there. That's why I limited it to just the one story, because you could really do
days,
episodes, and I do mean episodes about Resurrection Mary, because you've got the original story about her, but there are stories about Resurrection Mary all throughout the United States. Find a state, you'll find a story about Resurrection Mary there. Girl on the side of the road, hitchhiking, gets picked up. Asks to go to a certain destination. You get there, you turn around, she's not in the car anymore. You go knock on the door. Woman answers the door and says she died years ago or something like that. So anyway, I'll get into the story. I probably just already said it. Resurrection Mary's been known to make appearances on Archer Avenue in Chicago, Illinois since the 1930s. Story goes that a woman named Mary stormed out of a dance after fighting with her date. She was hit by a car and killed on the now infamous road she continues to haunt. In 1976, police responded to a call about a woman grasping the gate at Resurrection Cemetery, which borders the road, after apparently getting locked in. They found scorch marks on the bent gate, but no woman. How about that one?
It's a little creepy. Scorch marks generally mean something dark trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Cemeteries are consecrated land. Normally.
And yet, with the Resurrection Mary stories, there's never really any incidents of any malevolence with this ghost. So, and usually it's just a woman, a young woman just trying to get home.
Trying to get home at that.
Probably
that
not.
Maybe something
yeah.
that took her shape or form.
Could be.
So anyway, the next one is Shades of Death Road in Warren County, New Jersey. I keep getting all the New Jersey ones. Yeah, go ahead.
As if the name Shades of Death Road wasn't scary enough,
some say
the street gets its name from a series of grisly murders that occurred there in the 20s and 30s. By other accounts, the road is named for malaria outbreaks that occurred in the 1850s. Should I do the next one or not?
Yeah, go ahead.
I like the rest of your title, though. Shades of Death Road in Warren County, New Jersey is the road's real name.
That's pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I live at 4532 Shades of Death Road. I think at that point
the answer is, and then the answer is, huh?
And I'd be like, and you know what?
You what?
I'm selling the house, or just now, screw it, I'm moving.
I don't know, but if I lived on Shades of Death Road, Halloween would be a very interesting time of year, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, I'm okay.
Where do you live, Shades of Death Road?
I live there. Yeah, I'm kind of torn.
Not this time of year.
Kelly Road in Ohioville, Pennsylvania, is also known as Mystery Mile. Paranormal activity in the area is attributed to the legend of a couple who is said to have died on the road after their carriage flipped over. Oh, we're talking old time.
Uh-huh.
According to the story, the woman's neck snapped and the man was crushed in a slow, torturous death. Some people... Sorry.
I love how you inflect finish the story like that.
People have reported hearing the sounds of a carriage crashing and cries for help. No, that's just horrible. Torturous death.
You feel these readings, I swear.
You know what? No, it doesn't have to be olden times Pennsylvania Dutch. It could have been the Amish country. Isn't that Amish country?
Pennsylvania, yeah, you're right. Yeah, could very well be.
Is there any Amish communities near Ohioville, Pennsylvania, I wonder?
Okay, the closest I've been to Pennsylvania...
Oh, I've been there once, but it was a layover in a plane, so I didn't leave the airport. So
I got to Gettysburg, and then I went to Antietam. That's the entire layout I've had, and I know Antietam's not in Pennsylvania, but it's in Indiana.
Yeah.
I've been to Gettysburg, I've been to Antietam, and then I go back to D.C. and Baltimore. Everything in between is pretty countryside or big cities.
He's looking it up.
I am.
I know that somewhere near Gettysburg is a beautiful crystal cavern.
I would love to go into a cave tour.
It's small. It's not a big, huge thing, but it was beautiful. It was one of those, we saw it on the side of the road, but we can stop here. And they're like, we're about to close, but you want to come through? We'll take the seven of you. And they put us through the walk. It was beautiful. We come up and it's raining. God, I miss rain.
Yeah, right. What's rain? it's too dry around here.
They had said on the tour that once or twice a year they actually had to shut the tours down because the water would percolate through. Yeah. Not when it was raining, because it takes a while to layer through the sediment. Afterwards, you would get floods in there. I'm like, it's just gorgeous.
Did you take lots of pictures?
We weren't allowed. Because between the flash photography being normally banned because it's blinding people, but they had to replace all their incandescent bulbs with low heat LEDs
to not destroy the cave. Yeah.
Well, it was making mold and moss grow and eating the stalagmites.
Also, if there's any pools of water anywhere with critters in it, they're blind and it can actually damage them.
There was
they turn white.
Yeah, there was calcium degradation from the stalactites and stalagmites. So it was pretty.
Okay, I looked it up. I didn't see anything about the Pennsylvania Dutch, but it does have an old and rich history. It's a small town, actually. It's only got about 3,000 people. So
there's no Amish. Did you look?
I didn't say there was no Amish. I'm just saying I couldn't find anything.
Did you look
about
anything
it.
About Amish in that area?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
I found the census. It didn't say anything about.
So it could be older times.
Yeah, it could be.
It's a toss up. It could be either.
Mm-hmm. Like we had buckboards going through Sacramento until the mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of my...
Which isn't so strange considering the automobile was still a relatively new transportation.
My aunt has memories of seeing the, in her words, going out with her father to see the gypsy caravans to watch the caravans come through and set up the carnivals.
I would have loved to have seen
that. That would have been cool. Yeah, my grandfather got a speeding ticket on one of those buckboards in the Bay Area. Back when they were licensed, your tickets were behind your license. Yeah, thick. I've heard stories. I don't know how he managed to keep his license. I've heard.
Oops. For those of you not in the know, the kitten was on the back of the chair. The Adriana stretches back to stretch because stretching feels good. And the kitten damn near fell off the chair, scaring the Adriana.
No, it's not the scaring. It's the fact that if she loses purchase and slips and falls on me, it will hurt.
And yes. Now you know why she shrieks.
Oh, no. Ah!
So okay. We'll go on to the next one then. Dead Man's Curve. Don't come back from Dead Man's Curve. But this one's in Ohio. Claremont County, Ohio is said to be haunted by an actual dead man. Dead Man's Curve is a ubiquitous name for a dangerously sharp turn. Hey, I actually said that word without tripping up.
Yay!
Yay me! But ubiquitous. Yeah, there we go. But this treacherous curve in Claremont County is said to be more aptly named than most. At the intersection of Route 222 and Route 125, a faceless hitchhiker who died in a crash at the scene in the 1960s is said to appear on the road in the early hours of the morning. Before we go any further, I just want to say on some of these stories are really short. I understand that. Not a lot of detail. I did intend to actually go into detail on these. I just ran out of time because there's just so much information on a lot of this stuff.
And life happens.
And life does happen.
Just think, we now have how many starts of future episodes.
Oh, definitely. And for you, the listener, this gives you an opportunity to go look these places up and see what else you can find.
Research.
Maybe you'll find something and you can send us a message and let us know.
Or maybe some of you live near some of these places.
Yeah, possible.
Wouldn't it be great if someone from New Jersey or Pennsylvania or anywhere?
Well, definitely New Jersey. A lot of these seem to be New Jersey.
Places like this and that didn't get mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to tell us about these things. Come on, people.
Okay, that's enough begging for now.
Okay, so continuing on.
Yeah, why don't you do Clinton Road?
So according to legend, Clinton Road in West Milford, New Jersey is haunted by a ghost boy. According to local folklore, the ghost boy of Clinton Road will return coins people throw into the creek. Some visitors have reported seeing the boy's reflection in the water. Rumors of aliens and satanic cult activities also keep visitors on edge. That was a short one.
That's a good boy if he's giving him back the coins.
Yeah.
Every kid I ever knew wanted to keep the coins.
I don't know. Why would you throw coins in a creek?
So the ghost boy.
But why would you do that in the first place? It's not like it's a wishing well. You know what I mean?
Well, they see the boy's face in the well. They say they see the boy's face in the well.
That's not a well.
Or the river, the creek. And then they toss the coin in, probably in the hopes the ghost boy is going to appear and give you back the coin.
But my point is, where did... Never mind.
Well, that's why this is a blurb. You get to research it.
Blurb. That's why you have to do more research.
It's a curiosity thing in my head, so never mind.
Maybe he was what they used to deem a slow child, and he made sure what was lost was found.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that if you dropped a coin, coins were worth a lot. Coins meant you've got something. Maybe he got a sweet if he returned the coin.
Could be.
You wonder if the boy accidentally drowned there or something.
Could be.
Sad.
Research it. Let us know.
Are you telling them or me?
I'm telling all of us.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I'm going to be able to access your document here. And Okay.
I think we're going to have a second episode. Yeah. There's lots of them in this.
So this one kind of makes me laugh, actually, next one. You want to tell it?
Sure.
Or do you want to tell it, dear?
I'm okay. She hasn't had a lot.
I've heard a lot.
Not with the different articles. You read some of the little stuff from Reddit, but all the ones that you're getting are like super small.
Well, go on. People are dying to hear it now.
So Riverdale Road between Thornton and Brighton, Colorado is the subject of several urban...
Yeah, what she said.
Is the subject of several urban myths and legends. I was trying to find a way to make myths and legends one word, and it was not working out right. Woo.
Take two.
So all I've had today to drink that's funny is my horchata and the store. It's nothing more than just horchata. Anywho. Riverdale Road is one of the most well-known hauntings of this 11-mile road is Jogger's Hill, where an undead jogger supposedly bangs on cars and leaves handprints on windows.
Can you imagine that? That's the part that makes me laugh. He might be a phantom jogger, but he's going around banging on cars. Bing, bang, 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 bang. just to annoy you more than anything else, probably.
As long as it's just leaving handprints, because I know someone who just got their car kicked recently.
Some of this one?
Oh, would you like to read the next one?
Or not?
This one's pretty long. There's a lot to it.
Do you want to hear my voice?
We love your voice, Tracy.
If we didn't, you wouldn't be here.
True. Sure, I'll read this one here.
People would complain. I'm surprised nobody's complained about me and my loud sneezes and stuff.
This is the legend of the haunted railroad tracks in San Antonio, Texas.
Now, I found this one actually through a memory.
Okay.
I remembered the story, looked it up, was amazed that I found it right away, and decided to include it.
I think San Antonio is somewhere where my grandfather was born, too. So it's one of those.
Well, it's a nice little tie-in for you, then.
Let's see here. Yeah. So one telling of the legend takes place during the 1930s and 40s, depending on the account. According to this variation that we're telling, a bus carrying students home from a school was heading towards the intersection of Villeman and Shane. When it came to the railroad tracks, the bus stalled out. The bus driver noticed the train was barreling towards them. The driver rushed to get the children out of the bus, but there wasn't enough time, and the train crashed into the bus, killing 10 of the students and the driver as well. The more detailed version, which explains the legend's suitably, in my opinion, begins in such the same way. Decades ago, late 30s or 40s, in an especially dark evening, a nun was driving a bus full of children home after a field trip. They're heading down Shane Road, but when approaching the railroad crossing, the bus abruptly stalled on the tracks. Most of the students were sleeping, so she was quietly attempting to start the engine back up. It was then that the train emerged, seemingly out of nowhere, with its headlamp was burnt out. It offered no warning of its impending arrival. It was too late to evacuate the children, as the train was moving too fast. The nun desperately and frantically turned the key, making one last attempt to restart the bus, just as the train smashed the bus, cutting it in half. The nun was thrown through the windshield, but miraculously survived. The young children were not as fortunate, and were killed instantly. A few weeks later, the nun, guilt-ridden and heartbroken, returned to the site of the accident. She was unable to continue on, and thus decided to end her life. She parked her car on the tracks and sat there waiting for the next train to come along. Later, when a train came to sight, speeding down towards her, in the same way that as that tragic night, the nun began to hear small familiar voices. Then the car began to move forward as if being pushed from behind. The nun's car was rolled onto safety just as the train roared by. In disbelief, the nun got out of her car and began looking around, expecting to find a good Samaritan. She saw not one single soul. She looked back in her car and noticed children-sized handprints in the back of her trunk. And then she realized the ghosts of her students had saved her life. The nun was then blessed with newfound purpose in life, and she opened a school for orphans. She taught them until the day she died.
That's my favorite version of that story.
I have actually heard that one before. I've heard that before.
It's time to interject.
And there was prints, the kid prints, and the handprints on the car.
It is said to this day, if anyone parks their car on or near the railroad tracks at Shane Road, ghostly children will push it to safety, as they are determined to make sure that no one meets the same gruesome fate they suffered. The legend has grown so much over the years that tourists travel from all over the country so that they may bear witness to this phenomenon at the railroad crossing on Shane Road. Some will sprinkle baby powder on the back of the car just to see, just they can more clearly see the spotted handprints after the vehicle is pushed off the tracks, just as the nun's car was after so many years. I've heard this story. I'm trying to remember why I've heard it though.
Oh, let's see.
I swear I've heard this one before. Yeah, that one.
Unsolved Mysteries?
That might be why.
They did a story on it. I remember that. I think Ripley's did a bit on it, too, at one point. A lot of shows involving ghosts have repeated the story. That's why I wanted to put on it, because it's turned into a trope, basically, about cars stuck on the tracks and being pushed across by spirits, and they see little child-sized handprints on the back. And it's to the point where you're not sure if it's an actual haunting at this point or an urban legend, but it's a fun story, you know.
Looks like you have more stuff here too.
Yeah, I actually have a listing of the baby powder experiences at the railroad tracks. And it says, while there are many skeptics of this occurrence, one person who tested the legend was Brenda Pacheco. She said, I put my car in neutral, took my foot off the pedals, and the car moved. It moved quickly toward the tracks, up over the bump and down the other side, well out of harm's way. Pacheco also did the baby powder test. I was so excited. I got out to check the back of my car, and there were the tiny handprints, plain and clear and so, so tiny. The prints were so perfect, you could see the lines of the palms and the swirls of the fingerprints. Another person encountered the railroad tracks, he said, I know many dispute the legend of the railroad track ghosts. However, I was witness to one very indisputable event there in my late teens. Or early 20s. She goes on to recall her experience at the railroad tracks. I once went over in my convertible with a new parakeet in the car. The bird had been chirping happily until we staged the vehicle for the tracks, when suddenly his chirping was completely silenced. It wasn't until we left the area that he began to chirp again. Curious by her bird's reaction, she decided to try the baby powder legend out for herself. I used the baby powder on my car. I had multiple small handprints, but these handprints did not belong to me, and I had no children anywhere around my car previously and was extremely meticulous about the appearance of my car. She then pointed out, when one washes their car with dish soap, oils from hands are removed, so no prints will remain. Kind of cool, if it actually works. I've seen debunkers on television attempt to debunk this story, too, and they have, actually. They've gone over the tracks, set the vehicle where it's supposed to go. And in this case, the vehicle doesn't move. They check for the handprints, no handprints. So I don't know. Maybe it's because they're skeptics.
Could be.
And it doesn't happen.
Could be because they're trying to catch it. The kids are like, no.
Yeah. You're stupid.
You want to do this.
Okay. Other ghost stories at the railroad tracks. One telling of the legend takes place during the 30s or 40s, depending on the account. And according to this variation, a bus carrying students home from school was heading toward the intersection of Villemain and Shane. When it came to the railroad tracks, the bus stalled out. The bus driver then noticed...
Let me stop you there.
Did I go back?
No, I had an issue when I was printing this up.
This is a repeat, isn't it?
Like three different times.
Okay.
Here's one for you.
A little bit.
Yeah, just go down another paragraph or two.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Many locals have made claims they
say that you can hear the rumbling sounds of a train nearing, the steam whistle howling and the screeching of wheels as if the train is grinding to a halt, but nothing ever appears. Nothing is there at all except for the haunting chill of the night. Bless you.
I apologize. I did try to clear all those extraneous paragraphs out. Like I said, when I tried to copy this over and do the editing for the show, this actually copied like 3 or 4 times. For some reason, I only clicked it once and it went 4 times printing on the page.
We're not professional yet.
Yeah, we're trying though.
We're still new.
Here's another popular story. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I can stop.
No, please tell the popular story.
A popular story will tell you occurred not long after the horrific crash. It involves a woman who was driving down Chain Road late one night. As she approached the rail crossing, she saw a little girl standing all alone on the side of the road. She immediately stopped, pulled over, and offered the girl a ride home. Once they arrived at the girl's house, the child was hesitant to leave the vehicle and head inside. The woman assumed the girl must have run away from the home after a fight with her parents. So she told the girl that she would speak to her mother. When the woman got out of the car, she looked back to give the girl a reassuring smile, but she had vanished. The woman quickly reopened the car door, but no one was there. However, the seatbelt was still fastened.
That's a Resurrection Mary story.
There we go, with a child. Yeah. Another eerie account, which happened more recently, took place one weekend when a girl and a couple of friends made the trip to San Antonio to see the haunted railroad tracks. The girl took numerous pictures and emailed them to her mother. The mother was shocked to discover that in one of the photos there appeared to be a ghost of a little girl holding onto a teddy bear.
Now, the truth about the haunted railroad tracks has been debated in San Antonio, with both residents and law enforcement officials wary of the legend. There have been countless reports of cars appearing to move on their own, with mysterious childlike prints showing up on vehicles afterwards. Some also have allegedly heard the voices and laughter of children while at the railroad tracks. However, despite these stories, there are no records of any accidents ever occurring on the railroad tracks in San Antonio. So here we go on the urban legend aspect of it again. Some believe the legend was inspired by another fatal accident that happened on December 1st of the year 1938, far away in Salt Lake City, Utah. I remember this story too, that was attached to it. City was dealing with blizzard conditions. I remember those. And a school bus carrying over 20 students aged from 12 to 18 was attempting to bring the kids home safe when the bus stalled out on the railroad tracks just as a 50-car freight train came hurling their way. The aftermath was grisly, with every soul on the bus left dead. So is it possible that the news coverage of the Salt Lake City's crash became blurred over time with San Antonio folklore, with later legends adopting the story as their own? Later generations adopting the story as their own. If that is the case, why aren't there other similar stories throughout America? And why are there so many firsthand accounts at the railroad tracks in San Antonio?
Like the Resurrection Mary stories, everyone has one.
Well, now I've heard stories on other tracks where this has occurred too.
Similar things, but it's not as prevalent as the Resurrection Mary across the nation. Sorry. I'll stop talking at being interrupted.
No, you're fine.
Oh, wait. You do it to me all the time.
Exactly.
I just looked up because I'm looking on it. Was I hearing this story from my grandfather growing up from Fort Worth, not from San Antonio? But I still swear my grandfather told me a story like this when I was growing up.
Maybe he even took you there and you didn't realize it.
No, we never. We never.
No. Okay. Well, if you've grown up in San Antonio, Texas, there isn't a chance that you haven't heard of the haunted railroad tracks. Parents bring their young kids on by, according to Ghost City's resident San Antonian Gretchen, and teenagers get a certain thrill out of bringing their cars to the railroad crossing, waiting, hoping that the ghostly children might make an appearance and push the car across the tracks. We can't promise you a similar paranormal experience, but if you were to go, if your car was to get pushed up and over, don't say we didn't warn you. The children only want to help, but whether their little apparitions will make an appearance in your time of need is another matter altogether. Many locals have made claims. They say that you can hear the rumbling sounds of a train nearing, the steam whistle blowing, and the screeching of wheels as if the train is grinding to a halt, but nothing ever appears. Nothing is there at all except for the haunting chill of the night. Popular story locals will tell you occurred not long after the horrific crash. Did that one. Never mind. Yeah, it's just double up.
Here again.
Just ignore it. I think we're done with our list there.
No, finally. Let's check.
No, we're done. I just rolled through it.
You doubled it. Okay.
Yeah. Again, it's bad editing and not entirely my fault. I blame my computer. Hey, like I said, click once, paste four times. That doesn't work out that way. No. But that's just how it happened. So, what do you guys think of those stories?
Kind of interesting. I'm gonna definitely look up, see if mom.
I've got a couple of questions for things too. So yeah.
Go ahead. Well, what kind of questions?
I've already voiced them. I'm going to look them up.
Okay.
I'm not going to repeat myself.
Fine.
Just because you weren't paying attention.
Ooh.
I'm gonna pick my mommy's brain.
Oh, I love
see
you.
See if maybe she remembers stories of, you know, grandpa telling us stuff. Cause, yeah, the most I spent in Texas is layovers, and the night we spent in Humble, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Population.
Yeah, I've only been in Texas on a layover, also. So yes. Never left the airport. Never left the plane.
Well, we were supposed to not need to leave the airport, but it was the snowstorm on the East Coast in 2010. And we came into Texas into a rainstorm, and we got put into a little bitty hotel in Humble, Texas, where it was literally,
population two.
The sign said population two. We're in the middle of a warehouse district with a hotel, and they brought us pizza.
Just because it's a warehouse district doesn't mean anybody lives there.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it was a nice hotel. We watched Christmas stuff. No, it was February. But I remember watching it. We watched Scrooge. Scrooge was on TV in the middle of February. That's okay. And we flew out the next day.
You mean not Groundhog Day?
No, nope, not Groundhog Day.
Imagine that.
But yeah, what made me giggle about this whole trip is my mom and I left in one plane a half hour after my father left in another plane because we couldn't get the flight together.
Mm-hmm.
We both got to different parts of the country and were grounded overnight because of storms. And we got to BWI, so Baltimore, Washington International, at the same time the next day. It was also the first time I'd ever seen 12 foot of snow on the ground in Maryland, and saw four kids in flip-flops, shorts, and tank tops coming out because every car that went down the road got stuck in the snowbank. And they're out there in literal flip-flops and tank tops unearthing cars out the snowbank, making $20 to $50 a car.
Mm-hmm.
And just they go in and up, we're back out again.
When you're young, your threshold for cold is much higher than it used to be.
And when you're doing nothing but schlepping cars out.
You get hot.
Day long. Yeah. We were like the fifth or sixth car. And he's like, yeah, it's been an hour and a half. And I'm like, put a sign up. Don't go down this road.
You think that was the case, but when you got a blizzard going on, it really doesn't matter which road you go down. They're all bad. Going back to the whole Salt Lake City story with the railroad tracks because of the blizzard. I've been in Utah during blizzard situations. I grew up in Utah for part of my childhood. And a matter of fact, it was my birthday. I was at my aunt and uncle's house. It was a really fun birthday for just being just the family, you know. But then morning came because we stayed the night. When we woke up, there was snow everywhere. We were completely snowed in. And my mother somehow still managed to get us to school.
That's a long, slow blink you're not hearing. That's determination. In Sacramento, we had, 5 flakes of snow hit the ground a couple winters ago.
Snow day.
And we were waiting for the school to say, we're closed because snow.
And nobody drives in it.
The hail
People
was worse
can't
than
even
the snow
drive
was.
In good weather around here sometimes, I swear.
You remember when we got the hail in, 2002 or 2003?
Oh, yeah.
There was more hail on the ground. It actually looked like snow. There was so much hail on the ground, but yeah, nothing to write home about, really. Apparently, 5 snowflakes on the ground. Oh no, the ice age is coming.
That's how Sacramento drives. I mean, I swear, took off from like, oh look, there's actual snow. It's touched the ground. It's melting now, but it touched the ground. And then you hear sirens down the street. Like, really, people? It's barely even. Oh.
Yeah.
I've always said Sacramento drivers are weird, but that's for another time.
I know that one of the callback lines in Rocky Horror is, you know, as
As Janet's in the elevator, women drivers, no survivors. But, you know, Sacramento drivers, next to no survivors half the time, especially when it starts to rain. And I've lived here all my life, ladies and gentlemen. All of my life.
I haven't.
But... And seeing people suddenly go, Skywater, what do I do? Part one, engage brain.
How about there was a woman on the freeway when the rain happened, and she stopped in the middle of the freeway. Kent was behind her.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've done what we do best around here. We have side railed.
Yay! But no, dead stop. There's no one in front of her, and she doesn't know which lane she wants to get on. And suddenly she
little Asian girl couldn't figure out which way she wanted to go.
Don't be racist, because it could be
anybody. No, she was Asian. I saw her face as I passed by her finally.
Oh, but like I said, it was, whoa. I don't care who you are. If you stop on the freeway like that and there's no reason for
it. I'm pretty sure she had just gotten her license.
Young, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Like teenager?
Yeah, she was really young and scared, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I ran into one of those yesterday. Yep. I ran into one of those teen boys that doesn't know how to turn right off the freeway.
Well, they're still learning. You know,
there's no cars. We were kids, sitting there like the lights could have changed. It says no right turn on red between 4 and 6 p.m. This was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I swear, when I passed the kid, he looked like he was 12. I swear to God. So.
Well, I think that's going to cover everything for tonight. I had a good time. How about the rest of you?
Oh, yes.
Very fun. Very good tangents.
Like learning about haunted roads. And like I said, they were just really short stories. So I actually invite you people to take some of these stories, research them yourselves.
Run with it, people. Run.
Maybe you can find out more and let us know what you find. And to that point, I'm going to once again say, you know, if you want to talk to us, leave us a message, share a story. There's three ways you can do it. You can either email us at whatinthepodcast@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group and leave a message there at the What in the Podcast Facebook group. Or you can click on the voicemail recorder link at the bottom of the description of this episode or any of the other episodes. And there's a lot to choose from. We're on episode 15 now. 15, yay! Woo! We'll probably do it again when we hit 20.
Celebrate the small milestones.
Exactly.
21 with friendly people.
That's true.
Sure, why not?
That's 18 first.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, we can vote.
I think we've got the giggles now, both of us.
Yeah,
we're sober.
We're definitely done.
Yeah.
All right, folks. In the meantime, have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Keep those masks on. Do whatever the CDC says for now.
Be happy, be healthy, be smart.
Don't hurt others.
And the more you do it, the more likely come Halloween time we can wear different masks.
Yes.
We hope.
Yeah. But in the meantime, good night, folks.
Have fun.
Happy hauntings.
What in the...